This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning, good morning.
All right, to go. These Monday night shows, easy money. They're 2 hours. And then, like, I'm not on from Friday night. I got all day Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And by the time I put my notes together, I'm like, there's way too many things in my notes. We're not going to talk about all this. So 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Come on in. Come on in. What y'all want to talk about? Travis Hunter? Travis Hunter's girl? Crazy. Like, we live in a time where these young kids, like, they feel like they have to respond to nobody on the internet. That's crazy. Imagine winning the Heisman and going on your live, going on your platform, streaming, podcast, whatever it is, and addressing what people are saying about your girl. And then your girl going live. I don't know. I felt for them. I'm like, listen, y'all didn't need to do all this. But then look, it all works together. No such publicity is bad publicity. I just saw Complex covering it. All these outlets, football outlets, sports outlets covering it. So it's just more publicity for them. I saw Bomani Jones say, all y'all talking about is girl. You don't even know her name. I said, wow, I don't know her name. I know it now. I know it now because it's written on the internet. All these people covering it. But yeah, that's what I'll say on that. 888-808-1019. Well, I will say congrats to Travis Hunter. He rightfully so won the Heisman. A narrow victory, the narrowest of victories. But again, you know, Ashton Jeanne, cool, like, great running back, great year. One, he played in Boise State. Two, he didn't play on both sides of the ball. I don't care what any of y'all say. It is hard to play the two hardest positions, technically, like, running-wise on both sides, to play corner and play wide receiver. That's crazy for this kid to do that. Like, and he did it in high school, and they said he could have went to Georgia, he could have went to Florida, he could have went to Florida State, he could have went to Bama. I remember Nick Saban being mad, and Nick Saban coming out saying, oh, well, Deion Sanders paid the kid $1 million. Deion said, no, I didn't. We don't have $1 million at Jackson State. He went to play with Shedeur Sanders. And then they transfer and come to Colorado, and he's just as effective, if not more. He's a freak athlete. I can't wait to see him in the NFL. And that's my transition into tankathon.com. We're going to be doing a lot of checking tankathon.com around these parts. I like what I'm seeing right now. Right now, Travis Hunter at number three would be going to the New England Patriots. Makes a ton of sense. Can you imagine Christian Gonzalez on one side and Travis Hunter on the other side? Two lockdown corners, and they obviously need help at receiver. You pair Travis Hunter up, which maybe he doesn't do it in the NFL, but, you know, you pair Travis Hunter up with a team that has a need, and they're going to try some stuff in practice, maybe a couple gadget plays. Maybe he's just only in when it's, you know, empty, when it's four wide, five wide. Might be some cooking up there. 888-808-1019, but you care about the number two pick right now. The number two pick right now is Cameron Ward from the U, the University of Miami Hurricanes. He was at the Heisman ceremony as well. He was nominated, but you knew he wasn't going to win. Miami got snubbed, he thinks. He thinks Miami should be in the college football playoff. But sitting in his nice suit in front of the Heisman step and repeat doing interviews, he said, if Joe Shane wants me, he knows best. The tape says it all. You'll get a competitor out of me. I'll stay in New Jersey all day, every day. It's too much out here. I'll just focus on making plays for the Giants. I think the Giants would be better suited in taking on Cam Ward. But I think Shedeur Sanders is obviously open to it. Like, he comes to the city, and he's in the street throwing the ball with Malik Nabers. And then some account, NFL Rookie Watch, put out a tweet on Saturday saying Shedeur Sanders is prepared to be drafted by the Vegas Raiders or the Dallas Cowboys. There's reportedly a high likelihood Sanders would refuse to play if he were drafted by the Giants or Browns. You could tell this was cap. One, he's not going to be on the board for the Dallas Cowboys to draft him. The Browns, he's also not going to be there for the Browns to draft. He's going one or two quarterback. And Deion Sanders came out immediately to say, you know, don't speak for my son. Don't try and put that on my son. And then Twitter comes out and they put the label on it and they say this is a complete lie. 888-808-1019. Who do you want? Who do you want? We're getting closer and closer. I saw Art Stapleton flip that. I got to pull up Art's tweet. It was well played. It was something along the lines of playing off the fact that Shedeur Sanders was in the street throwing the football with Malik Nabers. Yeah. Art Stapleton writes 15 hours ago, Sunday ended with Malik Nabers catching passes from a Giants QB signed off the street. That's the present. The weekend began with Nabers catching passes in an NYC street from a QB who may represent the future. I see you, Art. I see what you did there. Tim Boyle, like, we're literally at the point where Tim Boyle played in the Black Friday game for the Jets last year. And now, you know, a couple weeks before Christmas, he's on the field for the Giants. My first thought when Tommy Cutlets went down, well, one, I told y'all the Tommy Cutlets. My God, Tommy DeVito, Tommy's. I told y'all that was gonna evaporate so fast. I said the original is gonna be better than the sequel. Stop that. Some of y'all thought he was gonna be Tom Brady. Some of y'all thought he was the future. I don't know who told you that, but I know I got on here and told you no, this is a gimmick and it's not gonna last long. And I mean, I hope for the best for the kid. Like, I'm not hating on the kid, but realistically, like, he does not have the size, pause, he does not have the size and skills to survive in the NFL, right? Brock Purdy can survive undersized. Kyler Murray can survive undersized. Tommy DeVito cannot. I don't know if he just doesn't know how to read the defense, if he doesn't know how to get his protection straight, if he doesn't know how to get rid of the ball. He takes a ton of hits, and there's no way to survive that in the NFL. 888-808-1019. So if you were, you know, trying to see if Tommy DeVito in year two could be your backup for next year, I think that's out the window. I thought that was out the window when they signed Drew Locke. And Drew Locke hurt his heel. He's in a boot. So now you're literally down to Tim Boyle. And, you know, the second thought I had was, oh, well, Daniel Jones would have got back in the game if you kept him hanging around. You would have been forced. If he was a third-string quarterback, you would have got to the point where you have to put Daniel Jones in there. They were smart. They knew they weren't going to let that happen. So now it's the Tim Boyle era, and at least Tim Boyle is able to get you in the end zone Look at Tim Boyle helping my fantasy team. I'm still playing Malik Nabers. Got Malik Nabers 10 catches. Well, not all from him, but he got him a tud. I'll take it. Look at Tim Boyle sling it. 888-808-1019. How sad is it to look at MetLife Stadium, right? And there's, you know, like we're giving these guys so much attention that are flying these planes. Who cares? Like, yo. And like, I don't care what Brian Daboll has to say about what he, like, imagine somebody flew a plane over your job and your job is to focus on your job and you come out of your job and they ask, hey, you see that plane? I didn't notice it till now. Now that you mention it, who cares? The plane doesn't change the results on the field. The plane doesn't change what the Mariners feel. John Mara's going to have a decision to make. I think he already made it. Unfortunately, I hate to break it to y'all. Like, I don't see, it's already bad. How much worse does it have to get? And I don't think we're going to line up to see Saquon Barkley break the rushing record or whatever that last game. And I don't think Saquon would do that to y'all anyway. He already called the dogs off when he could have got his career high first time around. So you can throw that out as far as like, oh, Saquon and the Eagles coming here and embarrassing us. That's going to be the final. So you've been, you, this is an all-time embarrassment for the Giants. I don't know when it's ever been this bad. 888-808-1019. So I think the decision's been made. They're practicing patience. Just a month or two ago, Joe Shane was talking about, hey, well, we're not getting blown out. And you know what? You know, Nick McLeod's departure because you asked him to take less money. Then you completely fumbled the situation with Daniel Jones and how you handled that. And then Tommy DeVito over Drew Locke. And next thing you know, guys are hurt. And next thing you know, you don't even really have enough guys to field a team. You're signing bums, randoms, to go out there and play for you. Like, who is Greg Stroman Jr.? Like why? Like, this was a concern. I was talking about the Giants DBs in the summertime when everybody was telling me how great Malik Nabers was. I'm like, yeah, we all saw him play at LSU. He is. Like, he might be the best receiver in this draft class. But he's also looking like Jerry Rice. He's also looking like Calvin Johnson because of the DBs he's facing in practice. The Giants have no DBs. They weren't able to get Stephon Gilmore. They bring Adoree Jackson back. And here we are at the end of the season. You barely have enough healthy guys to field a team, and you got to throw anybody out there, and they're letting Rashad Bateman go off. Like, I had a rap for week 15 picks. What'd I say? I was like, I said the Giants lose to themselves in practice. Nobody's acting. Like, they can stop Lamar Jackson. Tommy is back in. They're not playing lock. Here comes the Ravens flock putting up the yardage from MetLife to Mayo Park. I thought they were going to have 500 yards. They called the dogs off. Lamar Jackson, like, talk about a lopsided victory and just the obvious, like, the spread could have been so much higher. Lamar Jackson had more touchdowns than incompletions. Lamar Jackson was trying to keep his pants on. He was cold. They took him out of the game. Let Josh Johnson rock. 888-808-1019. So, like, how much more embarrassing does it got to get? How much, like, what else do you need to see? I think they're sticking with this regime to complete their holy trinity. And what I mean by that is the GM, the coach, the quarterback. So buckle up, Giants fans, because, like, this could set you back the rest of the decade. If you don't pick the right quarterback and start winning in the next 2 to 3 years, it's not going to be a one-year deal. It'll be a two-year deal. And, like, they're probably going to be whack next year. But then in the second year with the rookie quarterback that is now, you know, a sophomore, they'll probably win some games. But then that third year, if they regress, you're going to have to fire these guys. And then it's going to be like, what did it get you? I really hope. Because you know what? It's not right. I'm listening to John Gruden. Talk about you go to the Big Apple, you go to East Rutherford, you go to the Big Apple, and you face the New York Giants. Like they become a mockery of themselves. They become a laughing stock. Like, anybody can, like, Baker Mayfield comes in here doing the Tommy Cutlets dance all fast. Lamar Jackson, they take him out. Like, yo, we're good. I don't know. Something's got to change, but I do not think they're changing the GM, and I also don't think they're changing the head coach. I think that they're going to just keep tanking, as you should. Be careful now. You just watch Desmond Ridder and the Raiders. Like, you have to lose the rest of these games. It is what it is. The Falcons you just saw against the Raiders, that's who you got coming up, and you got to go down there. The Colts come here. The Eagles. It shouldn't be hard to lose these games. But who knows how the ball is going to bounce or what's going to happen. You got to tank because right now, just I think because of the percentage or the point difference, I forget what separates the Raiders and the Giants. But either way, I think the Raiders lose out and they continue to be the number one seed at 2-12, and the Giants are the number two seed. And you got to decide. And I don't think you're going to have to decide. I think the top quarterback coming off the board will be Shedeur Sanders. That's what I meant to say. Thanks, Rami. The strength of schedule, that's what the percentage is. That's where they get that difference from. Even though both teams are terrible, you watch them play, it's like, this is not even NFL. The Raiders, I haven't heard much about the Raiders and Cam Ward. There's so much more smoke to Tom Brady, the connection that he has with Shedeur Sanders and Deion Sanders, and the fact that like Deion is at Colorado and Vegas are not far from each other. The Raiders play in Denver every year. Like I just think that makes a ton of sense. 888-808-1019. It also makes sense for Cameron Ward to come in here. Like he said, I'll stay in Jersey all day. I don't need to enter New York City. There's too much going on out here. He wants to play football. He's got ridiculous arm talent. He is honestly like, this is a very light quarterback draft. We just saw Drew Allar from Penn State. He's going back to school. So the Penn State quarterback comes back to school, and I think they had him ranked either, fourth behind Jalen Milroe, or some people probably had him above Jalen Milroe. It's a light quarterback class. The Giants are going to figure it out this year. Last year, they didn't figure it out. They could have been the third team picking. They missed on three quarterbacks, and I don't know about Caleb Williams. But anyway, we'll stick to the Giants and Jets. They got to get Cam Ward. I think he would be the better quarterback to put in the hands of Brian Daboll. I think he would be the better project. I think he would be the better talent to mold. And I could just see, Malik Nabers going deep. Malik Nabers on a deep cross, on a double move. He's not overthrowing him. He's not underthrowing him like Daniel Jones. He's probably going to overthrow him, if anything. 888-808-1019. But yeah, we're at the point where we're talking about planes. Not practice, not a game. We're talking about planes. We're talking about, did you see the plane? We're talking about Shedeur Sanders and if he wants to play for the Giants, Cam Ward. Tim Boyle is finishing the game. And Josh Johnson, former Giant, is in the game. And for the Jets, talk about finishing the game. I wasn't even surprised. As I'm watching that game, I'm rooting for a tie. Because in my NFL rap, I said, said I was done picking the Jets, but that was a lie. They can't lose to the Jags. Probably ends in a tie. It was close. It was close. And I was just cracking up. I'm like, they are completely absent of coaching. Because a coaching point in the film would have been last week to say, hey, here's how we lost in Florida last week. This week, what are we going to do, fellas? Like, run the clock, run the ball, kill the clock. If we get inside whatever. They want to score. And it was a vintage performance from Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers. Good for them. Don't let it fool you. 888-808-1019. Do not for a second let it fool you into thinking that you want to do Aaron Rodgers 3.0. You following me? You picking up what I'm putting down? He is old. He is 41. He is an all-time great. And when it's warm down there in Duval County, it's warm down there in Miami, Miami Gardens. Yeah, those old bones loosen up a little bit, and he's able to run a little bit and escape pressure a little bit. Finally, late in the season, and make some throws. Him and Devontae on the same page. No. I just think, we're about to... Oh, right now, it's available on Netflix. Enigma, if you guys want to watch that tonight. I'm like, yes, I'm about to go watch Netflix and stop listening to Keith's show. It's available, I think, now. Enigma on Netflix. Aaron Rodgers' whole documentary on how he was going to, defy science and medicine and come back from his Achilles injury. And I think you actually get to see him do a little ayahuasca. Maybe not actually like him smoking ayahuasca and throwing up on himself, but like at least maybe some of the like hum, dong, like, I don't know. I'm about to watch it. I might watch it tonight. 888-808-1019. What I'm saying is it's got to be over. It's got to be done. The 33rd team has been hired, and their reputation is on the line. They're interviewing people. They interviewed Thomas Dimitroff. They're interviewing Lewis Riddick. They're interviewing John Robinson. Good. You know what you do in interviews? You figure out what you're looking for and what you're not looking for. You collect data. You get intel. You start to compare and contrast. And I think Woody Johnson actually did the right thing going to get these guys, because they know that they have to help Woody and the Jets make the right decision here, or they got to wear it too. It's not just going to be all Woody. Oh, it's his fault. There's one reason why the Jets suck. It starts at the top. Woody, he brings these guys in. They're going to do a good job. They're going to have a good search. And I think it's comical that their search did not include Bill Belichick at all, but I think it was the right move to not. Follow me here. Bill Belichick is a villain. Just all of the pain and misery that him and the Patriots caused Jets fans, there is probably 60% of Jets fans that say, F this guy. I don't want him coaching my team. He's 72. Get him out of here. It's a short-term thing. Like, for him to, you know, chase Don Shula's record? No. Didn't he leave us at the altar some years ago? Didn't he quit on us? Didn't he have some type of NFL films doc where he wouldn't even enter the locker room? He hates the Jets. Now he's coming crawling back out of desperation. Now he's coming crawling back. No. No need to ever go backwards, man. You don't need to double back like that, especially with him. Especially with him talking about ready, aim, fire, taking shots at Woody Johnson on Monday Night Football this year. Stand for some or you'll fall for anything. I don't think Woody Johnson was going for it. No. No, I'm not letting him coach this team. Not even gonna interview him. Not even gonna shake his hand. Not even gonna pick up the phone. That's way done. Go get Mike Vrabel. I'm sure he's got some Belichick things in his coaching repertoire. He's not part of the tree, but he played for him. I'm sure he knows the Patriot way. But yeah, Bill wanted to coach the Jets, right? Yeah, Bill wants to coach any NFL team, but teams aren't checking for him because that's it, old man. That's it. So he goes to UNC, and also they guarantee that his son's going to be able to take over after him. Good for him. And he could also leave that job if any NFL team just, you never know. Jerry Jones might just be like, Bill, this season was a disaster. What do you think about coming to Dallas? He might. But no, for the Jets, absolutely not. I'm glad Woody had some pride, remembered what he just said this season. The greatest coach in NFL history. What did he win without Tom Brady? Tom Brady went to Tampa, won without him. He couldn't win at all. He drafted Mac Jones, ruined him. Mac Jones is running for first downs, hitting the Rizzler on the Jets. Yo, how funny is Mac Jones to watch?
Is there a worse quarterback with more swag?
He thinks he's so saucy, but he's zesty. He thinks he is so cool. I watch the game like, yo, enough already, bro. You're going to lose the game. This team is trash. You're the backup quarterback in Jacksonville. Like, what are you doing? Why do you have so much of this, like, showboating and this bravado to you, bro? Just knock it off.
It's actually the first time he's ever lost to the Jets.
That's why, right? Because he went in there with that 4-0 or something like that. I don't know. Was it 6-0? He didn't play.
I think it was 6-0.
Maybe he was going for 5-0. I don't think he didn't beat. We got to look that up. He didn't beat the Jets 6 times. He wasn't there long enough to beat the Jets 6 times. 3 years and then sweeping them. I don't know. I think it might have been 4 or 5. Either way, I just thought that was hilarious. Mac Jones got all his swag for what? 888-808-1019. But yeah, the Jets get a win. It's probably their last win of the season. And like I said, don't let that fool you into thinking.
He was 5-0, and this was his 6th game.
There it is. We were in the middle of it. I knew he was. I'm like, he didn't have 6 wins against him. 5-0, looking for 6-0. But yes, a good win. It's good to see Devontae Adams go for almost 200 yards. It's good to see Aaron Rodgers go for almost 300 yards. There was a little bit of shaky ground with Garrett Wilson. If it's one-on-one, throw the fade. Garrett Wilson, chill. He's about to request a trade in the offseason. He don't want to be a part of this rebuild. But, yeah. Anyway, Jets fans, call me up. Tell me what you think about the GM search. Tell me what you think about the head coach search and what you do for quarterback next year. I think you need money. I think you can make some moves, man. Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, they're like, as much as that's fun to watch because they're doing it in Jets uniforms, they're doing that for themselves. They're doing that for their legacy. They're adding on to them as a tandem. They're adding on to the yards and the touchdowns and the receptions that they have together against a Jaguars team where they're running past Darnell Savage and like a bunch of, like, who are these guys playing for the Jaguars? That's another thing. Do not be fooled because they did that against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jacksonville Jaguars are one of the worst teams in the league. You cannot let that sway you into, right, see? See, he could still do it. And he'll be another year older. You got to move on. 888-808-1019. Ross is in Bergen County. What's up, Ross? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How you doing, man?
Good, good, good. How are you?
So I can only I'm doing good. Appreciate it, man. So I can only help but think you're going through this whole monologue about what a disgrace and embarrassment the Giants are, and deservedly so. And it can only make me think that we go back to early September, week one, we had a matchup here in East Rutherford where a team that just won their 12th game of the season through 15 weeks was only given a point and a half against said Giant team. And I know it was an unknown Sam Darnold under center for us, and we were kind of, you know, an unknown going into the year, but the fact we were only given 2 points, I mean, looking back in hindsight, that might be one of the most disrespectful lines all season.
Well, it's week one. And nobody knows Sam Darnold's first start with the team. And, I mean, just think about what we thought about the Giants. We thought the Giants were going to be better coming off of Hard Knocks. I don't know, man. Malik Nabers hype. And I remember trying to take the other side and say, hey, let's talk about the Vikings. Let's talk about the story here. Let's talk about some of these personalities here. Let's talk about how motivated these guys are. Kevin O'Connell's a good coach. Sam Darnold's a good quarterback. He just had a rough start. Like, Brian Flores is a great coach. He just had a rough path. Some of these guys they drafted. I remember talking about Aaron Jones not being done. And look where they are now.
If we win out, we get the one seed, or we have a really good shot at the one seed. We definitely have the tiebreaker over Detroit and its strength of schedule flexible with Philly. But I think it would, like, the odds would be in our favor. We went out and now we got a gauntlet, Green Bay, Seattle, Detroit. It's not like we got Tampa schedule or something, but you know, we control our own destiny in the NFC. And, you know, when you got the narratives, you name it, like, first of all, Detroit, I look at the coach of the year odds, and you got to see the fact that Dan Campbell, a team that was projected to win, 11, 12, 13 games, I know he's got the injuries. They're not the first team that
Dan Campbell can't win coach of the year.
Yeah, dude, what? So what? All of a sudden now, because the cute, cuddly America's Team Lions decided to have a great year, all of a sudden now we throw out the overachiever award out the window.
Back to back great years, but what damned them last year was Dan Campbell, and I'll never get over that onside kick. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't care. There's no logic behind it because of how it turned out. I don't care your logic behind it if you don't get the results. Like, that was stupid. I saw J.J. Watt put out a tweet that says, onside kicks have a 7% success rate. Trying one with 12 minutes left while only down 10 is insane. It is. You just tried something that fails over 90% of the time with plenty of game left. Dan Campbell can't win coach of the year. He's got to chill with that.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about a coach now. You know, obviously some bias, but I mean, we're talking about the other 12-2 team of the division was projected to win. Their preseason line was 6.5 or 7.5, but regardless, they were projected to be sub 500. You're telling me the guy who was projected to win 11.5. And by the way, I know they're riddled with injuries, and, you know, Montgomery went down today. It was the first hit on the offense, but I know as good as the defense is, and there's kind of has some New York
they
ties.
They lost Khalif Raymond, but yeah, go on.
Well, they got Tim Patrick now. I mean, they got
Adrian. Yeah,
they
look at Jared that. Buff.
They got Sonic and Knuckles. You got Jahmyr Gibbs acting like Montgomery died, like Eloy Jimenez in the dugout. Did you see that picture?
Yeah.
They got Sonic
but
and Knuckles,
guys,
and they got
are,
Jared Goff throwing
those,
for 500
those guys
yards
are peas in a pot. I guess they're really BFFs like that.
But I guess it's kind of got New York ties in a way because everyone around here is talking about Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, like the second they take over as head coaches of the next Don Shula. But, I mean, let's be honest. I know that they have been riddled with injuries on the defensive side of the ball, but the reason they're 12-2 is mainly because of the offense. I mean, you look, they ran up the score on Jacksonville, Tennessee. I mean, the majority of these games, they're putting up 40-50. They're lighting these games up there. Those games are over in the third quarter. And I know the defense is solid. You know, Hutchinson was the big loss. Dude, they got the Joseph and Brian Branch. They got that safety duo, which, by the way, the whole thing about the biting kneecaps and everything, kind of ironic now that they're the ones getting riddled with injuries. Yeah, Kirby Joseph, every tight end he ever saw, he, you know, was a low blow. And that's all discourse on Twitter, but it's whatever. And just overall now, they're the ones riddled with the injuries. And just overall now, the fact that you got two 12-2 teams, you don't want to throw Philly in the mix. And despite how depleted they are with injuries, it still feels like people are holding out hope that Detroit's going to be able to pull it off. And I was talking to Rami behind the class, too, real quick, and I'm going a little long. You know, we got so many teams in the league and just in sports in general with stigmas. You know, here alone, same old Jets, same old Mets. How come that the jokes around the Lions, you know, wasting Barry Sanders' career, wasting, Megatron's career. Those just go out the window because they
Matthew
have one
Stafford's
great regular
career,
season.
Yeah.
Right. They have one great regular season, which, by the way, people don't talk about, ended at the hands of blowing a 24-7 halftime lead. 17-point lead. They were just a half hour away from going to Las Vegas, and nobody talks about it. Flirting versus harassing, man. And you know what? If it takes these, you know what? Now the team's riddled. You still got Campbell's Coach of the Year favorite. I don't know, man. I'm getting a little sick of the
Lions. He can't
win
Coach of the Year. You know what? I'm thinking about Brian Daboll right now. And Kevin O'Connell should have won Coach of the Year over him, but he lost to him round one of the playoffs.
Well, I don't. Playoffs don't have anything to do with it, right? Because if
they don't,
but
in hindsight, when you think about it, that year, Kevin O'Connell was a rookie head coach, just like Brian Daboll was.
Well, I'm just praying to God because you're going to hear a rare time, like, not compliment, but I guess say something nice about Green Bay. It's stupid as hell that a 12-2 Minnesota team, a 10-4 Green Bay team, regardless of who win the West and South, that both of them have to go on the road. And you could keep the divisions, you could keep the conferences, but I think sooner than later we're going to see the division, like division winners facing seeds. That's going to get thrown out the window because this isn't the first year. I mean, a couple years ago, you had the year the Bucs won the Super Bowl late. They went to Washington was the year all the Giant fans were mad at Doug Peterson for winning that last week of the year. They would have won the division at 6-10 and hosted the eventual Super Bowl winning champion. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing two instances this year. Hell, I mean, whoever doesn't win the AFC North is going to have to go to Houston, who looks vulnerable. It's just so flawed with the 4-5 matchup. I mean, you got two instances in the NFC.
Hey, well, listen, Ross, this might be your year for the Vikings to do it. And if they can knock off the Eagles on the way, we'd appreciate that. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. Monday morning quarterbacking. No, it's Tuesday morning now. Call me up. Let's talk some NFL football, Jets, Giants, whatever, whole league. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Right back at it on The Fan in New York. See, the winter meetings happen, and I guess here in New York a lot happened, but not a lot really happened across the country, and there's still a lot of players waiting to be signed, a lot of rumors, and now we go from the hot stove to the warm stove, and it's just a waiting game, and it reminds you that, like, this is how baseball free agency and offseason usually is. There's always a slog. There's always a slow period. There's always some amount of time where we're like, yo, what happens next? And it drags out for many players into spring training. 888-808-1019. So there's no rush on anything, but how long were we talking about the big fish that needed to be signed? The first domino that needed to be fall before the rest of these guys could be signed? And I mean, it isn't like other guys at his position have been signed. It's just a waiting period right now. I mean, we're waiting on Max Fried to be official, and Yankee fans that are impatient want to see that news and see that press conference start to come up with all types of things. Oh, the medicals aren't right. Oh, this isn't bad. Oh, contract didn't go through. Listen, I don't know this for a fact. I know I read what you read online. I think he's on vacation. I think he's not around. People go on vacation a lot. You don't have to think the worst. You don't have to think that the contract's no good. You don't got to think they got fired. Nothing. Just people leave. They go on vacation with their family. We got Devin Williams Zoom coming up 2 p.m. today. And I think they're going to cover it on the Yes Network, which is cool. I got the invite, but I don't know if I'm pulling up to, like, ask questions. Like, I don't got anything to ask. I'll leave that to the beat writers and the reporters. 888-808-1019. Somewhere in the background lurking, David Stearns is working. Yup. Couple little deals, right? These marginal moves that we saw last year. These little bit of, you know, signings that nobody's really, you know, writing home about. Names that don't jump out at you. Brandon Waddell, Brandon Waddle. Jared Young, But you never know how they might pan out. You never know how they might work out in spring training, who they might become or who they won't become. You know, I remember this time last year seeing some of these depth pieces, some of these minor league deals, some of these little moves. And, you know, folks were like, oh, who is this guy? What are we doing? Oh, small market. You don't know who those guys turn into. Those guys turn into Jose Iglesias or Tyrone Taylor. And it could work out well for you. 888-808-1019. So, I mean, we've kind of chilled on the baseball front. We're waiting on Pete Alonso. We're waiting on Cody Bellinger. We're waiting on Anthony Santander, Christian Walker, Roky Suzuki. I don't think Suzuki is signing with the Mets or the Yankees. And I don't know if the Mets are going out there to sign a pitcher like a Walker Buehler. Definitely not Corbin Burns. I think they're going to make a trade for someone like a Dylan Cease or a Luis Castillo maybe. But we got to wait. It's a waiting game. And that's part of the whole negotiation too, right? Like with Cody Bellinger, all these reports point to, yes, there's mutual interest. The Cubs want to deal him. The Yankees are interested in him. But they haven't agreed on the Cashman considerations. They haven't agreed on how much money the Cubs are going to take on that contract and how much money the Yankees are going to take. And so you take your time with that stuff. You keep checking on it. All right, how about we do this? No, how about we do this? What if you do this? How about this? What do we add this to the trade? They're eventually, I think, going to work that out. But the risk you run with how long that takes is eventually Christian Walker gets signed or Pete Alonso gets signed. And I think Pete Alonso goes back to the Mets. And I think it's a deal. Like, I did read somewhere that they want Pete Alonso potentially on a shorter-term deal, which makes sense. But I don't think Pete is trying to sign a shorter-term deal. Not like Boris is against signing the short-term deals as he did for his clients last year. But what makes it tough now is that you just saw Steve Cohen give Juan Soto the moon and a 15-year deal. And Pete Alonso's sitting here like, hey, what about me? You want me to sign a 3-year deal, 4-year deal? Nah, I want my money, man. I want my money for what I did and what I will do. Didn't you just see me hit that home run? Didn't you just see me turn it on in the postseason? So that's where we are, man. We'll wait it out. 888-808-1019. We're talking football, though. Got some Jets fans on the phone. I said, call me up. Tell me what you're thinking about these guys the rest of the way. I think that's the last game that Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers will be able to turn it on and win like that. The Jaguars are terrible. You've got the Rams and the Bills coming up. And good. Just, you know, lose out so that you do secure that, like, top 10 pick. You don't want to be outside the top 10, regardless of whether you're getting a quarterback or not. And for what I'm, you know, seeing, I just think that you got to move on from Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I get it. If you were to draft a quarterback, having Aaron Rodgers as a mentor here. But, like, Aaron Rodgers isn't about mentoring guys. He's going to be about going out the right way. So I guess maybe, but I just don't think it works with his ego. He's going to want to win. And I think he should go to a warmer weather place. We just saw him play really well late in the season in Florida. Russell's in West Islip. Russell, you're on the Fan.
Hello there, Keith. How are you?
I'm good. Hanging out. Thanks for calling.
All right. So Bill Belichick calls the Jets, and he's been trashing them for a really long time. Now, tell me if you think this is the ultimate troll move. He goes, they hire him, and then he writes on a napkin that he retires from HC of the Jets and goes to North Carolina.
Nah. If anything, I had the thought that, you know, I was saying, like, you know, you interview all these GMs and people to collect data, to gather intel. If anything, I was thinking that they do like a gotcha type of thing. Bring him in, string him along, let him think that they're interested in hiring him, pick his brain, get all the secrets. What did you think about this Jets organization all these years? What were we doing wrong? And, you know, let him think that he's got the job and then pull the rug from under him and hire Mike Vrabel.
Well, I think either way would be funny, you know, and I'm just being funny. I do have a real Jets question. If Shane and Dable got fired, you know, got let go from the Giants, if you were the Jets,
why would you want them? Yeah, why would you want those guys if you were the Jets?
I don't know.
Thanks for the call, Russell. Why are you not seeing what's going on across the street?
Well, your neighbor's better than anything they've had. I don't know about Shane.
Nah, dude. If they get dumped by the Giants and picked up by the Jets, that would make absolutely no sense. No, you can't just, no.
Why would you want him? Someone who's never done the job before than Brian Daboll?
Yeah, I'd rather take my chances instead of taking my literal, like, the team we share a stadium with, their failed GM and head coach, instead of giving them another opportunity to stay right here and fail with us, I'd rather point and laugh, ha-ha, and I'd rather take the chance starting brand new with a different GM, different head coach, and try my luck. 888-808-1019. I would not do that. Tyrod Taylor's a little different, right? You see a backup quarterback across the street, and you're like, all right, he's serviceable, and he doesn't want to leave because Drea's in his house in California, and he wants to stay here in Jersey. Yeah, you give him a two-year deal. That could be the Jets' bridge quarterback. Honestly, you could draft a quarterback next year, and he's still under contract, and you have 1 year with Tyrod Taylor, and Tyrod's no stranger to that. He did that for Baker Mayfield. He did that for Justin Herbert. Lost his job to both of those guys in season. Running back, do it again. Let's go down a long branch and talk to Abraham on the fan. Hello, Abraham.
Yo, Keys, what's up, man? How's it going?
It's going, man. Watching these highlights, looking through some notes and stuff.
Oh, my God. Yeah, long time listener, first time caller. I just got to say, huge fan.
Appreciate it.
I remember hearing you one time on the fan saying that you used to work in, you grew up around here in Long Branch, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, I was born in Monmouth Medical Center, graduated from Monmouth University. Like, spent way too much time over there, for real.
Right here, down the block from where I live, really. I heard you worked in Camp David. I'm actually Jewish. I was in Camp David.
Hey, let's go. Shout out to everybody over there at Camp David. Yes, that was my first job, mopping floors, cleaning toilets, and playing basketball with all the Jewish kids at the camp. Yep.
Wow. All right. Anyways, my jet point. So I don't understand. All of a sudden, they're clicking. All of a sudden, Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers. What's going on over here? You know what I mean?
I tell you.
Or something like I'm a Jet fan. You know, I grew up a Jet fan. I finally gave up, and all of a sudden, you know, like I'm really baffled.
You give up. They can't give up. They got to go out there and play, right? Like it's the end of the year. There's no pressure now. There's no playoffs. They're eliminated. They're going into these games and they're playing for personal gain. They're playing for stats. They're not even playing like a team. Like they're not even playing like a team with any coaches. Like the coaches don't even know what to do in the game. So what you're seeing is guys just going out there and you know, getting it for the name on the back of the jersey, and they're playing against a team like the Jaguars. That game, they shouldn't have gave up that many points to the Jaguars. I mean, the Dolphins, I don't know what's wrong with the Dolphins. They can't beat anybody good. I look at the Jets they went to Florida back-to-back weeks. Aaron Rodgers turned back the clock. Devontae Adams turned back the clock, but it doesn't mean anything. I don't think it should fool you into thinking that, like, this is a future for next year.
Definitely not. I heard you say this before. I'm 100% agreeing with you. Do not get fooled. Any Jet fan, do not get fooled by yesterday or whatever it was.
It was cool probably to watch as a Jets fan, watch that much offense, right? 400 yards of offense. Aaron Rodgers, like, this is the Aaron Rodgers you were hoping for when you originally signed him. It's too little too late. It's too little too late now.
Right, exactly. Do you think, I wanted to ask you, do you think we should draft the quarterback? Do you think, what's our next move right now? What are we doing?
There's going to be so many quarterbacks that get paid because this is a light quarterback draft class. Like I said, Drew Allard just went back, and Jalen Milroe is a project. There's really two quarterbacks at the top of the draft. Then after that, it's a guessing game. I wouldn't think that they need that. You have Tyrod, and maybe if you want to take a quarterback in the second round, if you want to take a quarterback like a project. But after those top two quarterbacks come off the board, I don't know. We'll see what happens with the pro days and the combines. It's not going to be a quarterback heavy draft. So drafting a quarterback, get everything else right to bring a young quarterback in. Like everything was not right when they brought in Zach Wilson. With a rookie head coach, with a rookie offensive coordinator, like it didn't work at all. So do it differently.
My nightmares, legit. Anyways, thank you so much, Keith, for your time. Love listening to you, big time fan.
Abe, thanks for the call, bro. Shout out to the Long Branch Green Wave, everybody off Ocean Ave, from Long Branch to Deal to Allenhurst, 732. You already know 888-808-1019. The Jets are in a position where they have a lot of talent on the team. And, like, some of y'all got to be, like, a little bit easier on Sauce Gardner, man. Like now on WFAN, he's known as Soft Gardner. Like, if you ever seen this guy, which you will, like, I ran into him in the Newark airport. He's very, like, visible and available, and he's quiet as kept. Like, this is a guy that survived Detroit, like, not far from 8 Mile. You're calling this guy Soft Gardner? This guy has probably seen some crazy stuff in his life. That's why he doesn't drink. That's why he doesn't smoke. That's why he played football to get out of the street and, like, change his life for his family. And when I see the reaction to him talking about, you know, he had the, you know, the game-saving interception or whatever. But it was so long since he had a pick. And just the feeling of making that interception to seal the game in front of his family down there in Duval. I mean, he's from Detroit, but I guess he's got some family down there in Jacksonville. Or maybe that was just the trip on the road that they could afford to come see him. I'm very familiar with Jacksonville. Growing up, I used to spend summers down there. Like, I used to be down, like, my first NFL game I ever saw was their inaugural season. I think it was Altel Stadium back then. Very affordable down there. A couple years back, we heard some foul stuff about the food. They looked at all the NFL teams and the food or whatever down there in Jacksonville, and they, I think they gave them a D or an F for the food. It was not sanitary, but then you got people jumping in the pool down there and eating chicken fingers. 888-808-1019. You know, Sauce Gardner saying that it was like the draft, that it was up there with the draft. This guy has only been in the league, what, 3 years? He's been on a terrible team. He doesn't pick the ball off very often. He's had a rough year. For him to have that moment in front of his family with all of them there and to be able to give his mom the ball and, you know, good for him, man. Good for him. You guys ain't never did anything. You guys criticizing this man for, oh, my God, how could he say that? He hasn't had too many other bright moments playing for the New York Jets. What are we talking about? We're acting like he's on a good team all the time. Oh, here's a call out of left field that I must take right away. Will is in Manhattan. What's up, Will? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, a long-time listener, first-time caller. You know, fellow Nets fan, I'm devastated by their Nets dumping Schroeder. I mean, this team was finally fun to watch again. They competed, and what the heck did they get for him? A guy with a torn ACL.
It's the stack and second round picks.
Yeah.
You know what? Will? You know what I thought was strange? Like, I think Friday when the Nets lost to the Grizzlies, we saw Dennis Schroeder stand up for Jordy Fernandez. We saw Ja Morant talking trash. And we saw, you know, Dennis was like the only player that stepped in to be like, yo, don't talk to my coach. And, you know, he got traded the next day. It wasn't even 24 hours later. You know what it was? Yeah. I don't know. A couple things. And I'm seeing, you know, Nets Twitter. And I'm so down on the Nets. Like, I don't want to watch Ben Simmons play. And like a night like tonight, talk about a Desmond Ridder revenge game. No, there was no Desmond Ridder revenge game. How about a Kenny Atkinson revenge game? Did you watch the game tonight?
No, I didn't.
It wasn't worth watching. I know Evan and Sean went out there for it. It was not worth watching. And it's sad to watch Caris LeVert. It's sad to watch Kenny Atkinson. It's sad to watch, you know, former Nets players go out there and absolutely, Jared Allen, absolutely blow the Nets out of the water. And it goes to show you just in a matter of a couple years, just last year, opening night, we were battling with these guys. No, right. No. The trade.
And there's the team that we had before they thought they were going to cash it all in on Durant and all the other marbles.
Yeah, time flies. I think this too, Killian Hayes is on the Nets G League team. Are you familiar with Killian Hayes? Former top pick, went to Detroit.
No.
So Killian Hayes just had a triple-double for the Long Island Nets. He also plays point guard. Dennis Schroeder being a veteran and an outspoken one, and one who, like, he stood up for the head coach. He stood up for Ben Simmons against a fan. I forget where they were on the road, and a fan was heckling Ben Simmons, and he, you know, stuck his nose into it. They got him up out of here. So they got him at the trade deadline last year, got him up out of here quickly this year for, like you said, who did the Nets get for him? They got 3 second-round picks. DeAnthony Melton. And three
and
second
a guy
round
named
picks.
Reese Beckman.
These guys are never going to crack the rotation with the Nets with who they're playing right now. How many guys are playing right now?
Why give this guy away like that? Did you not see him play for Germany? Did you not see him play for the Lakers?
Yes,
the guy's legit.
Yeah, he can score. He can pass. He's a competitor. I thought he fit right in. I don't know. They're not really trying to win, which now you can see they're actively losing. The whole goal this season is not to actually win. Now they're on a little three-game losing streak coming back down to earth.
I can't understand why. They don't care about their fans. Like, they don't care that they're about putting anything out there that's worth watching. They finally have a product that's worth watching, and they immediately destroy it for nothing.
Yeah, it was short-lived. I remember getting on a couple weeks ago talking about how I like this Nets basketball. I don't like being the villain. Sometimes they win, sometimes they lose, but they compete, and they've got depth, and they've got veterans. They've got all these different – they don't have enough room for all these guys, and that's another thing. They had to make a trade because as guys get healthy, they don't have enough room. Killian Hayes might be waiting in the wings. It is what it is. Sean Marks better be cooking up something, but the future for the Nets is like 3-4 years away. Will, thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. See, I told you the calls dictate where we're going to go. I could talk about everything from like, I thought Red Zone was supposed to be 7 hours of commercial-free football. Now they got Scott Hansen just saying, 7 hours of football. And I'm adjusting my TV on Sunday. I'm like, wait, what is this on? I have Fubo. Shout out to Fubo. Free ad, much better than YouTube TV. Used to work it there, so I've got the Lifetime account. But anyway, Fubo, you can do picture-in-picture. You can do three. So I have the Jets game, I have the Giants game, I have Red Zone. And I see a commercial on the Red Zone part, and I'm like, yo, what is it? Oh, they got commercials now. You know? So I'm trying to talk football, but we can talk baseball. Matt in Hoboken wants to talk John Heyman. I got to take a break. I didn't even say anything. I didn't even say anything about John Heyman. We're taking calls on John Heyman. Let it go. Y'all got to move on. Juan Soto is a Met. Well, Matt, we will take your call, though. We got a break. PB is going to hit us with the update. Keith McPherson on the fan. I'll be right back.